Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for choosing us to be yours. We believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and so we shall be saved, and we pray in Jesus' name, amen. We all have heard the well-known adage that nothing is certain except death and taxes. Ah, really? We know that only God is unchanging, only God is certain. And if we look and see the years pass, or the lifetimes pass, we know that there are plenty of changes. But compared to eternal truth, we know that God does not change. And the Bible tells us that God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. It is very reassuring that God does not change, and that His standards to live by, that we will be judged by, that they do not change either. We are not perfect, but God has given us Jesus Christ to be our righteous covering. And that is a free gift if and when we accept it. And He will forgive our wrongs, and we will change our ways to live a righteous life according to God through Jesus Christ. It is wonderful to get a fresh, new spiritual life and heaven. And thank you, Jesus. I have been thinking about what has changed and what does not change, because I've been looking at the world around us and I see many possibilities for big change. Some are good, like the way it's going with our national economy. And some of the possible big changes are not good. And I look at bad possibilities more than the good, because if the good happens, we don't get hurt. But if the bad happens, we could get very hurt. And because people are not so aware of a big bad trouble coming along, they don't prepare for a trouble. So I shout a warning out now to look and to be aware. So let's take a look at international, national, local, and personal possible troubles. So, international. A little over a year ago, the U.S. bombed Syria while Russia was protecting Syria. Russia warned that there would be serious repercussions from that action. And since then, we citizens have been aware of Russia's hypersonic weapons, which are very fast, and they have a long range, and they can be redirected in flight. The U.S. is developing the same weapons, but it does not have them yet. Russia is testing the Poseidon drone. It is like a submarine. And when it is exploded along a coastline, it could cause a tsunami, a wall of water 1,500 feet high. And who knows how far inland that would go. So that's Russia. China. Early this year, the president of China visited its military bases, and his message to the troops was that China was going to go to war in 2019, and the troops should be prepared to give their lives for the honor of China. How about Iran? Iran stated their opposition to U.S. military presence in that region. Iran has threatened to close the Strait of Hormuz, and the flow of oil that goes through it. Last year, Iran purchased hundreds of explosive anti-ship sea mines. I can't guess how many times the leaders of Iran have held public rallies where the crowds chanted, "Death to the Great Satan, which is the USA," and "Death to the Little Satan, which is Israel." Iran today has troops in Syria, and they are ready to attack Israel. See, the Middle East, it is a fertile ground for conflict, for war. All sorts of things are brewing, animosities. And Turkey has growing social, political, and economic turmoil in it. Israel and Gaza, or the Palestinians and the Jews, are continuing in their conflict. And it was about a week ago that 800 rockets were fired into Israel from Gaza. So that's another source of turmoil, perhaps. Venezuela now has Russian troops in that country. Maybe China does too, but China, it's not clear if they have troops or just workers in that country. North Korea. North Korea is apparently back on its track of building ICBM missiles, intercontinental ballistic missiles. And I wonder what will happen with that. Could be a conflict too. Well, North Korea also has two satellites which are orbiting the Earth, and they pass over the United States every day. And they're in the control of North Korea. We don't exactly know what's on those satellites. Those satellites were launched in secret, and there is speculation that those satellites could have an EMP-producing device on board them. So, both of those satellites are flying at the, or orbiting at the best altitude to cause a widespread EMP, electromagnetic pulse, which could greatly hurt or wipe out our electrical grid. And like I said, they're over the United States every day. So it's things to contemplate. And it is hard to contemplate life in the United States after an EMP because it would be without electricity. Now, such a condition could happen either by such a man-caused event with the electromagnetic pulse or with a natural-caused event by the sun, which is a SME, solar mass ejection. Now, one of those happened in 1859, and the result of it was melted telegraph lines in the United States and melted fence wires. Those melted wires dripped into the grass and caused prairie fires. That 1959 event was called the Carrington event. And there's been smaller solar mass ejections, SMEs, since that time. In 1921, there was one that melted some copper wires in the control room of certain train stations, like in New York City, and it damaged the transatlantic telephone cable at that time also. So there's a lot going on internationally that which could suddenly turn into a conflict. And it just reminds me of what the Bible tells us is a time of wars and rumors of wars. Now, nationally, we have divisions also. We have conflict and potential conflict. And of course, I think of that Bible verse that a house divided against itself will not stand. That's in Matthew 12. Now, our nation has many divisions. Abortion is one of those issues that divides our nation. And we should be aware that our Bible shows that the taking of innocent life is really a big deal to our God. And I think if you recognize just how big a deal it is, you can say, watch out, look out, prepare for judgment even on this nation. Yes, it's possible. And our nation is not the only one to be doing this. And yet that does make me also think of the scripture that judgment starts in the house of God. That's 1 Peter 4. So we can all wonder what will come upon our nation, and not just what will come, but when it will come. It's a good question, and we surely do not know the answer. And that goes back to my other theme, which is preparation. So there's so many things to be aware of. There are hurts that could come upon our nation. Why? Because of disobedience to God. I talk to people, and I find that so many people are aware. They know that there's ungodly behavior going on, and they know that our nation could be having consequences or judgment because of ungodly behavior in our nation. But most people also have mentioned another part of this, of cautionary things. See, we live in a time when there's all sorts of things that could be going on, and what it is really a good question. But the caution is always something to be aware of. And so many people do not want to even recognize that bad things can happen. Really bad things. Anything can happen because of disobedience of God's will. And if those bad things do happen, well, that could lead to a real emergency and a real need for emergency food and supplies. So you can look at history and see it plainly. World history, U.S. history, we know that things happen. We know that disasters happen. And it's makes it quite sensible to have preparations for the just-in-case situation. I know that for many years I have looked at economics. I've looked at markets. I've looked at the patterns of commerce. I've looked at failures and collapses in this country and other countries. And the conditions for such things to happen again in the United States, they're very present. They're just right here. Now, there are notable people who are warning about such disaster coming, such calamities, as being possible. And of course, I would rather hear that good times are coming. Oh yes, there's no need to be concerned. Everything's going to be good and well. But that's not the historical example that I see. I see that consequences and judgment could very well be here soon. But it's just an estimation. It's just something I see. Can I predict it? Maybe not without qualification, but we can just look at it all. Because here it is, we can look and wonder, what is God's timing? And history shows us that God does judge. But for quite what, when, and where, that's something which is in God's, that's His to determine. So it's only an exercise for us to look, but it is possibilities. Near the end of last year, I talked about what 10 large money fund managers said regarding 2019. This is what could happen on our national, just nationally. So we don't have to believe what these people are saying, but it's good to be aware of what knowledgeable money people, financial people, are saying about money and finances. So I'm going to say that, say their brief little sentence about what they said. David Stockman said a money crisis is imminent. Scott Minard said there will be a crisis in 2019. David Tudor Jones said a 2019 crisis with large inflation will occur. Ray Dalio, there will be an economic crisis in 2019 or 2020. John Hussman, the timing is anyone's guess, but there will be a 50% stock market drop. Jim Rogers, expect a biblical scale collapse beginning in 2018 or 2019, and it will be the worst of our lifetime. David Salenti, the conditions are right for a financial panic to occur. James Dale Davidson, the recovery is an illusion because it was funded by debt, so a collapse is looming. Chris Martinson, if a credit extension does not happen, a currency crisis will result. Andrew Smithers, conditions are similar to the 1999 event as well as the 1929 depression when stocks lost 89% of their value. So those are people who last year were talking about 2019. They are large money fund managers, and so they have some knowledge and education. But of course, they're not. This is not divine discussion. This is only what people are seeing, but we can pay attention. Another person is Jacob Rothschild. Now, you know that Rothschild name, so heavily involved in finance and assets worldwide, a powerful force. And the last summer, he was warning people in his investment group to move their assets out of the United States because the government is overspending, and this overspending makes the economy of the United States unsustainable. He also said the world would see an economic crash unlike anything that the world had ever seen. So this is how some financial people are viewing our financial future. Now, every one of these men can be wrong, but they can also be right. They are learned in their fields, and it's just something to look at and be aware of what some people are saying. Now, how about just us? We are all little guys, and we can wonder what to do. We know the simple answers, and that is to get out of debt and to reduce our risk. And that has always been what we want to do, but especially if there is an economic difficulty in our future. And that's what these money fund managers are predicting, that there will be something pretty big in our future happening. I know there are some economists who have noted that there are four times more U.S. dollars in existence in 2018 than there were in 2008. That's a pretty big expansion of our money supply. Four times more dollars over a 10-year period. And you know what that sounds like. Well, it sounds like inflation to me, and it sounds like a dollar that has less value. Because the more of something you have, the less is each one's value. And do you remember what one of our founding fathers, Thomas Jefferson, said? He said that if the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered. So, the pattern is well known. Thomas Jefferson and people of his time knew it. The quote, though, does get my attention, because in the last 6 months I have heard people say that we should be getting ready for deflation in our economy. So, of course, it got my attention, and I thought of the Thomas Jefferson quote. Well, lots of people have ideas, and you do wonder who is correct. You do wonder what will happen. And so many people have ideas. Sure, I have them too, and you have them too. But we don't know the real fact of the matter. We don't know the future, but we see that there are indications, and that is what we want to look at to see what just might be coming our way. We search for answers. We try to be satisfied with what we understand. And we each have to make our own search of the information before us. And we all have to come to our own conclusion. But it helps to have information. And every one of these people have an idea. They have information. So as I've looked at international and national, now I will touch on food, because food is an international concern. National, local, it's always a concern everywhere. Our food supply is important, and it is lowering each and every year. There's been flooding in Australia. There's been flooding in Nebraska. And that flooding in both locations has put some of the world's food supplies at risk, because the beef production has been reduced. The grain reduction has been reduced now and in the future. So, there can be another event that we don't know still on the horizon. It's possible. And if there is, that would change our food supply, reduce our food supply yet again. So, what do we do about that one? I think we all try to have our own food supply. Some reserve food that we can eat just in case there is a reduction in food in the world or even a famine. I mean, they've happened all over the world at different times. Famines, they could happen again for different reasons. Yes, we can think of crops changing. We can think of floods. We can think of insect infestations. We can think of plant viruses. All these things can happen, and they will reduce our food supply. It's not like there's one answer. It's just one of those things to be aware of and consider. I have mentioned that in December of 2018, there was the President's National Infrastructure Advisory Council. They worked in conjunction with FEMA, which is the Federal Emergency Management Agency, and with the Department of Homeland Security. And they warned that the entire United States, each person, everyone in the United States, should have a 6-month food supply and have water also available, or to my thinking, it's a water filter available, a large, good water filter. Something like, I suggest the big Berkey, but everybody can have their own ideas about what to get. We each need water every day, or our body just doesn't function well. Food is good too, but water every day. So, everyone does have their own idea of what to do to prepare for a difficult situation. Everyone has their own idea about what food to store up and how to deal with water if it doesn't come out of your tap, if there is an electrical grid failure, if there is some other situation that we can only guess at. So, I think there's some basics always to have, and of course it's me. I'm the one who's saying this. And I choose things that'll last a long time and are not so expensive. They come in bulk. And I say, besides the water filter, you will want grains, various grains, whole grains, sugar, salt, and oil. Now, like I said, the bulk is what I prefer. It keeps the prices down, but everybody has their own ideas. Some people really look at dehydrated foods, and some people really look close at MREs. That's the military version of meals ready to eat. But they can cost a little, kind of a lot, and everyone has to make their own decision as to what direction they're going to go for food storage. I can't tell you what to do. It's just you have to look at the options, look at the money involved, look at storage, and then you get to figure it out. So along with these grains, various grains are good to have, and including white rice, not brown rice. It doesn't store. But all these things, you will probably want to have flavorings to go along with them also. So remember flavorings. And you get to decide. There's so many choices out there. There's so many things that you just might want. But make your own plan. But do make a plan, because the plan will help you to not overlook things. So have a look. Make a plan. There's lots of people, they're organizations and institutions that have lists. And you can get their lists. Or, of course, you can get mine, my little list. It's just send me, please, a stamped self-addressed envelope, and I will send it right back to you. To John Stephenson, P.O. P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. So, there's many sources of lists that you can look at, lots of good ideas, but you need space to store it in, and you need money to buy it with. So, but if you don't look, you won't see. So have a look and see what kind of things you would like to have. It does take a little time. It's kind of a little project. But you decide what it is that suits you, and then you do something. Actually do it. It just is so obvious that you want to buy the supplies, the food and supplies, when they are easy to acquire and available. If you wait until people recognize that there is an urgent need for whatever food and supplies there are, the prices will increase dramatically. And I don't mean prices double, I mean triple or a lot more. So it's another reason to get your supplies while they are available. And start your preparations today. Yes, before there's an urgent need and what you want is hard to find. So, I realize that it's kind of hard to start your process, but once you start, it's easy to keep going. You make an examination and you make decisions to be ready for that just-in-case situation. Oh, it was kind of an interesting surprise to me that about 6 months ago, I had two different people, was it about a week apart, to tell me to get ready. And I thought that got my attention because I'm the one who tells other people to get ready. And then I had two different people telling me to get ready. Quite interesting. So, that made me think. So I'm telling you this because I want you to be inspired to take some steps toward preparedness for the just in case. Because after all, I don't know what could happen. Well, yes, I know there's things that could happen, but what to be prepared for, I don't know. I just see so many possibilities of very serious things happen. And I remind you that tools are good, seeds are good, medical is good, and warmth is good. But food and water are one of those things that it's just easy to remember because we use water and food every day. And in a disaster, we don't quite know what happens. If our electricity really does go out, well then, our supply of food and water is no more. And it's just so hard for us to grasp. But look at it, and you'll see how true it is. Now how about for our local situation? What's going on here? In your state, in our state, there are always politics to consider. In the local areas also, always politics. But it's pretty easy to see that locally, statewide, nationally, there's quite a division going on when people are having very different, very opposite ideas. And with such a big difference in what people are thinking and acting on, it makes compromise just a whole lot harder when you're really looking at very opposite points of view. So just be prepared to hold your own view and understand it. Recognize that there will be opposition to all sorts of viewpoints. And know there will be a dominant side, and so there will be one side forcing the other, and nobody wants to be forced. But that's probably what's going to happen, and hard feelings could easily result. So try to find ways for compromise, not of the essential points, but just on what you can, so that feelings don't get hurt. And I think of course of the Bible. One Bible verse in Luke is, "Not my will, but thine." And that's something good to remember. There's the Lord's Prayer, "Hallowed be thy name, thy will be done." And that's, there's Matthew 6. But "thy will be done" is quite different from "our will be done." So remember that that's the idea to carry with you, that you are examining what God would have for you. And I also think of another part of that Bible scripture, and that is, "If they persecuted me, they will persecute you." That's a given. So what do we prepare for it in our hearts and in our minds? Well, it could be quite surprising, whatever happens, and we must be just remembering of these things being possible. The struggles that we have in all areas of life, and that we can learn from them also. There's a lot to learn. And remember that we are being conformed to the image of Christ. Conformed to the image of Christ and become acquainted with sorrows. Well, there you go. Romans 8:28-9. And the other one was out of Isaiah 53. So there's all sorts of things, and you look for yourself with prayer and prayerfully discern with your determinations and with your actions what to do. Now, that Bible that we have is a great big book. It's full of information and understanding. Read it and find the consistencies. Find what it is that speaks to you. And that's what we do for our personal life. We extend it to our local and our national and our international point of view. Now, we can see the Bible is our book, and that's what we are to follow. But it has lots of parts in it, and that's why you have to read it, so you get discernment. And all these things will be brought right to us, and we have to discern and act on what we understand to be the righteous position. Now, at some point, who knows what will happen? There is talk about judgment and consequences in the Bible. So are we supposed to be aware and prepared for disaster things? I mean, look at history. There could be a disaster like a famine or a flood. All these things have happened in the past. And that reminds me about Oroville Dam. You know, there are still people who consider this to be a significant threat to us. I'm not predicting that there will be a problem with the Oroville Dam, but I would mean to point out to you that there are people who see that the Oroville Dam does have potential problems. And I think it's good to examine them. Sure, see what other people are saying. See what some people have reported. I know there are people who've reported that there is water seeping through that Oroville Dam, the earthen walls of it, and that it is also completely, no, it's approaching its completely full level. What happens if it does get completely full? What happens if the weather warms up and the snow melts and the water runs into the reservoirs above the dam and then into the dam itself? Well, this has been a question that has been asked for months now. It's known, it's a question, it's been examined, but it's not like there's answers to it. Well, there are people who have tried to come up with answers, but it's still a question. There's questions about the dam fully functioning, or a gate opening, or something like that. That's something we have to look at and examine. The discussion of these things has been going on for months, and it is going on again. A few days ago, I heard a discussion by Paul Preston, and he's known for his representation of New California, and that's about California being divided into two states, one being the rural or farming part, and the other part of California being the area that was composed of the populated areas. Well, it's a point of discussion, and there are lots of interests at stake here. Some people say that California, the rural parts of California, the farming parts, are not adequately represented. Well, this can really be true, but again, you look at it and see what you judge the situation to be. In general, Paul Preston is concerned with the state and New California. Well, days ago, I heard him talking on Dave Hodges, the Common Sense Show, and that was on YouTube. And he has a good and a logical presentation about how things, conditions, are existing at the Oroville Dam right now. And so there's questions. Is the Oroville Dam in good, solid shape? Well, it's pretty hard to verify that because there are lots of people. Well, no, not lots, but there are several voices of concern and several voices of not concern. So how seriously are we to take this? It's a good question. It really is, and I don't have just one answer, but I know that, like I said, Oroville Dam is getting near the level of its capacity. So, what does that mean? It's a good question. But I think it's always good to look at what the situation is and what are the consequences of the information that we have in front of us. I invite you to look, and I invite you to decide on your own what to do. All I know is that there's things that could be a danger level, just like everything I talk about. They could be a danger, and so I say, look out, have a look at it, and you decide. Pray and ask God for His direction. That's really the best thing we can do. Sure, listen to other information, but it's your relationship with God that is really the big part of everything in life. Because God knows the coming events, and He knows how suited we are to be right here, right now, at a time such as this. God has placed us here, and there's a reason for all of it. So that's one thing, the Oroville Dam, but there's so many things that could happen. I know I'm very aware of the potential of an EMP weapon, or even just plain war or a terror event. All these things are possible on Earth, and so are the natural disasters. For instance, we could have an earthquake, we could have a fire, a flood, or a tsunami. Yes, all these things can happen, and we can learn lessons from all of it. See these things going on around us and say, hey, maybe we should get a little prepared. Yeah, get prepared individually. We don't have, of course we can pray, but there's only so much we can do as individuals. And then surprises do do come along, a great big surprise event, it does happen. But we can share the love of God with other people. We can share the supplies that we have, like water, like food, like warmth. Isn't that a part of our Christian love? Love our neighbors? Yes, it certainly is. And we also want to be aware that those are short-term emergencies that we pretty much always think of. And if there is a long-term emergency, we want to think of having a community, some kind of a group. It can be a faith-based group, or a common interest group, or just your neighbors. It's other people looking to help other people that is a great big benefit for each and every one of us. You know that there was that President's National Infrastructure Advisory Council, and they made recommendations with Homeland Security and FEMA, and they were suggesting that everybody have food and water because the electrical grid just could go down. And if that happens, you can only guess how long that would last. There was some hint of 6 months, but really, an electrical grid failure would be years worth of going without electricity. I'm not sure what that means for each one of us, but it means we would sure have a different lifestyle, and we would learn to know and have compassion for our neighbors. The time frame of the event, I don't know. Nobody knows. It's just something to have a little bit of attention and concern about. And have a little bit of your attention paid to plans so that if a big event does happen, you have a plan in place already because you've given it a little thought and you're not thinking about things at the last minute. I know this has been decades ago already. A retired military man told me that if you want to control people, you control food. Oh, that's quite common knowledge among lots of groups. But the point here is that every person who looks, every organization that looks, whether it's the United Nations or the military or any government, it's just evident. It's such a known fact that the control of food will control people. And that's what tyrants do also. And that's what warlords do if they are controlling a particular region. So get some power back and get control of your own storable food and a water filter and warm clothes. That's how you look after yourself so that you don't have to go running to a situation or a person or, whatever it is. So having supplies goes a long ways toward maintaining your own freedom in the event of a widespread disaster. And if you look at history, there have been so many things that have happened to people and in countries. Local, national, even international things have happened where there have been catastrophes and people have needed help. So my point is get your help lined up in advance so that you can deal with an emergency. And you can help other people. Just think of the opportunity that you will have to reduce death and suffering of other people. Get some supplies. And remember, surprises happen. Indeed they do. And people have starved lots of different times, even during the Great Depression. During the Great Depression, millions died, and part of the problem was food could not be delivered to the markets because the transportation was not available. The fuel was not available. there was things that just happened, and we have to be aware of any of those kind of problems, and for the just-in-case examination. Here, we live in an agricultural area, and the farmers, you know, we think of farmers as having food, but farmers get their food from the store also. Hardly anyone has a vegetable garden or edible food that they can eat. Do they have an acre of grain planted? Hardly anybody does. Oh, and it's about an acre of grain that will sustain a person for 1 year. Like if you had a 1 acre of wheat planted, that crop, it's reasonable to think of as being one year worth of food. So you just continue to look at the what-if possibilities and seeing what it would be like to live in some unknown situation. Look at the just-in-case possibilities and make some decisions. You know, these days, please be aware that the ultra-rich are stockpiling very much. They're stockpiling food and supplies. And you know that governments around the world are stockpiling food and supplies also. Our own government is stockpiling all sorts of things, including food, water, and the MREs, you know, all that. You also, I think, may be aware that our federal government is also stockpiling firearms and ammunition. Millions of rounds of ammunition is getting stockpiled. And more than the military or the police would use, even in a war. All sorts of agencies are having a portion of it, from the post office to the IRS and the agricultural agencies. It seems like everybody's getting a little bit, every one of those agencies. Why is the federal government building up its supply of arms and ammunition? Well, I don't know, but I wonder. There's just things going on and we have to just wonder about. Oh, like, it's been a dozen years now, but there were programs that were in the works, and they have been acted upon, that the federal government was making a partnership between pastors and federal agencies, so that the pastors could help the government keep order if there was a big emergency. So, who knows what all that means, but you just have to remember, it's interesting. We don't know what it means, but it's only sensible to look at the possibilities of there's a control with agencies of people. There's also control spiritually, and our pastors play a pretty big role in it. It's good, but you still have to use your own understanding of what the Bible says. And I'm not telling you what it is. You look for yourself. But recognize that if there is an emergency, so many things will be in limited supply, from water and food and warmth and energy and gasoline and even money. Oh, you know, when there is an emergency, a national disaster, I should say, that the Federal Reserve sends money trucks of money, to distribute so that there is money available. The shortages are in every way, and we ought to be a little bit concerned, not worried, but just concerned that there's things that can happen and that we can pay attention to have some things so that our level of concern does not raise to a level of worry. You know, if we have food, that's good. We can share it. And, you know, there's people who have children in their home. you'll want to have some supplies for children, for grandchildren, and who will have food that will be willing to share it? Probably the people with children will not be so likely to share their food. So you get your own. Get your own and have some to share. That's a good idea. As this has gone on forever in history, history has just shown that there are famines, there are shortages of every kind, there are natural disasters, and we want to be prepared so that we don't have to deal with shortages. So get your own supplies. And remember what is really important. What's really important? Heaven and hell, your eternal destiny is important. And that you want to pay attention to. Choose heaven. It's yielding your life to God through Jesus Christ. There's many things in the past that talk about the journey, and you can learn from, the Book of the Martyrs or people who have a personal testimony. There's so much to look at, and just look at victory in Jesus. It's a wonderful song. But in the midst of all these things, we have seen how emergencies can go. We saw the Paradise Fire, and that was an emergency situation. We saw people who barely escaped with their lives. Sometimes they could save a little bit of items or documents, but not much. And many escaped with nothing at all, but they escaped, and their faith in Jesus went with them. And we can remember that that's the important part, faith in Jesus, that and to have our life conform to our belief, our faith and understanding. Now, if you are interested in a preparedness list, by all means, call me. Write me with an envelope, John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. Everybody has their own list. I have one too, and I hope that every list prepares you for just getting a few things together for that just-in-case situation. So look out for what could be coming. I don't know what it is, but you remember that our spiritual life is so important, and Jesus is the head of it. Thank you for listening today to Christ Today. And until next week, may God walk with you. And may you walk with God. It's a mutual walk. You walk with God, and God walks with you. Thank you for listening. Until next week.